Who is this guy?
I'm Batman.
You could be Batman.
Sure.
I'm Batman.
See?
I'm Batman.
You sound like Cookie Monster.
I'm Batman.
That's Batman.
I'm Batman.
Listen, I'm Batman.
Oof. You even sound like a bad guy.
I swear I am a good guy.
Okay, Mr. Batman.
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 That's what I said, Batman.
No, you're saying Batman. Listen, I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
This is the Batpod. Batpod.
Grab your bat microphone, it's time to start the show. Like a court of owls, the mystery is starting to grow. Let there be no debate, it's about to begin. Keen like Bruce Wayne, quick like Tim Drake, fierce like Damien. Grab your headphones, listen up, you know you love it. Drop the facade. Like the Dark Knight Detective, they've got some perspective. They're a pure crime-fighting collective. It's the Batpod.
Welcome to the Batpod. My name is Bill Beer, and welcome to a new year and a new decade.
No.
Yes, I said it, a new decade.
No.
What do you mean no?
Jay and I quit.
I don't quit. I'm just going to let him twist in the wind.
It's a new decade. It's the beginning of a decade.
Send all corrections to BillNeedsEducation@gmail.com.
The 80s or the 80s? The 90s or the 90s? The 2000s, the 2000s, the 2010s? The 2010s. Not the 2020s, the 2010s.
Yes, we're in the 2010s.
Okay. Joining me tonight is Martin Ferretti and Jay Loving.
Hello.
Good evening.
And tonight we have a great show for you, of course. They're all great. Am I right?
I mean, they're great when we record them.
They are great. That's true. So tonight we're doing Batman number 85, The Curse of the White Knight number 5, and Detective Comics 1017. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's head to the books.
The Batpod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
We are a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
Our first book is Batman number 85. Your writer is Tom King. Your artists are Mikhail Yanine and Hugo Petrus. Colors, Jordy Belair. Letters, Clayton Cowles. Cover, Tony S. Daniel. Variant cover, Francisco Matina. Associate editors, Dave Wolgos, Ben Mears. Editor, Jamie S. Rich. And in this issue, we reach the finale of The City of Bane, the issue we've been waiting for so long. Thomas Wayne is the only one left standing until Batman unleashes Catwoman, who was not under Psycho Pirate's influence. Thomas Wayne is overcome by Batman and Catwoman and gives up until Thomas pulls a gun on Bat, trying to convince Bruce he is not Batman. Batman tells Thomas the hows and the whys he became Batman. And with one punch, he tells Thomas he is not his father. Now, we also get some interchanging story between our main story. We get Bruce and Charlie Brown hanging out at Porky's watching a football game. We get Batman and Gotham Girl talking about Bat and Cat getting married, and Batman actually gives Gotham Girl a gift, platinum kryptonite, which will give her powers without actually killing her. Bane and the Zarkum and Batman and him discuss how they are alike, or it's basically Batman telling Bane how they are alike, and that they understand each other. And we see Bane break Thomas Wayne's back. The finale. What did you think?
Thank goodness. Jay, you can go first.
Overall, I mean, it was a rather quick ending, I thought, but it had to be. I'm still curious as to what, if anything, King changed when he learned that he was not going to be allowed to finish out the story. Did he just, was this originally going to be the Batman 85? Well, probably, obviously not, but I don't know. I'm really, that's one of the things I guess we'll never know the answer to. Overall, I thought it was, given what had come up, not the only way to end it, really.
Was it though?
Well, I guess there's a million ways you could have ended it, but I don't see, I don't know. I think King had finally gotten to the point where he was just ready to it to be over with and didn't want to do anything really controversial.
Mr. Bill, I would like you to take a clip off our last unreleased episode in which I called it that nothing would happen in this damn issue.
Oh, a lot happened.
Nothing happened.
Bruce and Charlie Brown were watching a football game.
Yes.
Did you know Bruce was into football?
A lot happened, nothing of any circumstance. Nor was anything remotely related to anything that we've had in the past 85 issues.
Say that again.
I won't hear that again.
There was nothing important that wrapped up anything from the past 85 issues.
I mean, Batman defeated his father with one punch. No, let me.
Thank you for making my point, Bill. Thank you.
Let me just tell you the thing that I really liked about this issue. And it actually wasn't much, but I liked that Catwoman was not controlled by the Psycho Pirate because she had control of the ventriloquist because she had Scarface's eyeball and the promise that she was going to give Scarface to him. That's why he was controlling the Psycho Pirate for her. And I did like that aspect.
And yet no Scarface.
No, we get his eyeball, but no Scarface, really. Yeah. So.
Wow, disappointment.
No, but I did like that aspect. But it felt like you were tying everything up in a nice little knot. Let's put everything back, except Alfred, of course. Let's put everything back the way it was. Given Gotham Girl powers, she's not going to kill herself. I mean, that...
Since you're bringing up Gotham Girl, does anyone care about Gotham Girl?
I do.
Do you? Like, do you really?
I care for her in as far as I don't mind seeing her in an episode here and there. Will she be a main character? I can't imagine.
Yeah, but that's not caring for her. Like, is there anything that's like, oh man, I can't wait to see Gotham Girl again?
Well, you know why you don't care about her? You know why?
Because she hasn't done anything in 82 issues.
She hasn't fleshed anything out. You don't know anything about this girl except how she got her powers. She was like crazy through how many issues. Then we didn't see her for 60 issues or whatever.
Yeah, the solo story that he did with her was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
But then that's it. So to me, that was not impactful. Him punching the one-man punch to get rid of Thomas Wayne, not impactful.
No.
The only thing that is impactful is Bruce not being an emo kid anymore. And now he's going to get back to doing what he's supposed to be doing. Okay, and him coming to that realization. That's the only impactful thing of this issue.
Well, and it looks like that the attempted suicide is part of his character now, for whatever reason, which I don't really love that aspect.
Until issue 86.
When it's gone.
Yes. I was not impressed at all by this issue. The art is beautiful, but it's always been beautiful. Every issue has fantastic art, unless JRJR is on. But in terms of story, it was just really disappointing. But I'm glad that Chris and Daryl were on the comic. That's great. Congratulations, guys.
Now, you have any thoughts, Jay, about anything here?
What did everyone think of the epilogue?
Yes, I knew you would bring that up. So I will say this. I am looking forward to see what Tinian does with Batman going forward. I really enjoy Tinian's independent work. I liked his short run on Detective. Outside of that, I'm a little iffy on his DC stuff. I think he's gone in a direction that I don't particularly care for in certain things. And so I'm kind of wait and see on this, which means that I might end up loving it because I was really excited for Tom to take over the book because I love Tom's previous work. But for Tinian, I'm not sure. I would have chosen, personally, maybe we'll get to that later, Tom Taylor to take over Batman, but that's fine. You know, whatever. I think there's too much Joker.
Interesting.
Too much Joker?
Mm-hmm.
Just in general or in the Batman book?
In DC Comics.
Well, see, that's a point I had brought up on our previous episode, and the consensus was, well, it's not too much so far because it's in these... Most have been relegated to these black label and out of continuity books.
Mm-hmm.
But we said, yeah, if he starts coming back in the main titles, it may start to become too much.
Yep.
So that's, I'm also looking forward to Tinian. I've enjoyed his work. I'm going to give him every chance on this. But yeah, this kind of gave me a, are we getting too much Joker? And I understand 2019, of course, now we're into 2020, but 2019 was the year of the Joker because of the phenomenal success of the film.
Yes.
And DC is going to try to capitalize on that every way they can. And I'm concerned that they're going to go too far with it.
And is that a hook for you? I mean, when I see the Joker in the back of that, what's coming, that doesn't get me all that excited. I mean, is the average fan, Batman fan, going to get excited because it's the Joker? Is that what you want to see, Joker, all the time? And
Joker's not even in my top five, you know what I mean? So not really.
No, Joker, I love the Joker. He's one of my favorite characters, but you can just, there's a point where it becomes saturated. And now with all of these, you've got Harleen, you've got Joker, Harley Criminal Sanity, you've got Joker Killer Smile. That's three DC Black Label books right off the top of my head that are featuring Joker. Now you're going to have him in at least the first arc of Tinian's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's... Ronnie and I were talking about this, and Ronnie was not happy at all about it being the Joker.
Yeah.
He feels the saturation, kind of oversaturated too. So,
you know, it seems like he's going kind of for a horror take on his run of Batman. So it could just be a setup, and if that's the case, then that's cool. I just hope it's not like, a two-year storyline with the Joker.
No, I don't see how.
Well, that's why you're not writing Batman.
Could you have 85 issues of Batman based on the Joker being the villain behind everything? I don't think you could.
Well, you had 85 issues of Batman as an emo kid, so yeah.
I would be surprised if Tinian lasts 2 years on Batman myself. And that's not a knock on him. I'm not sure you see that much anymore of
no
author staying 2 to 3 years on titles much anymore.
Well, in the Batman book, they have, but...
Well, they have, but I mean, I think that may change after this. I don't know.
Yeah.
DC may decide.
And then
we're not going to have... Well,
Tom King is supposedly writing the Batman Catwoman book. I don't know if that's still in the plans or not.
It is. It's delayed, but it's still there.
Now, the one other thing I wanted to say about this, it didn't sound like there's ever going to be a wedding. Did you get that out of it?
Yeah, they don't they don't need a wedding.
No, they don't need a wedding.
She said as much.
They're just going to shack up.
Cool. We could have saved ourselves 60 issues of that.
Please send all your hate mail to Martin.
Yeah, you know at what? Send all your... there you go. At GeekVine on Twitter. All your hate mail belongs to me.
Well, you can send some to me because I was thinking, I guess Selena's going to take over the cooking now that Alfred's gone, so she'll be moving in and things.
Yeah, who's gonna make his cucumber sandwiches?
That's sexist. All the ladies send hate mail to @JForgets. Thanks.
That is not sexist. Selena has cooked in other episodes, so she knows she can cook. I don't think Batman could make a grilled cheese without Bruce can make a grilled cheese without burning it. So.
Come on, bro. He's the greatest detective of all time. He can detect the way. He can detect the recipe.
He can detect a good restaurant to go to, I guess, this weekend.
No, he just goes to get those crappy burgers.
All right.
Okay. Any other thoughts about this book?
No, let's put a bow in it. I'm tired of talking about it.
Okay, let's put a bow on the Tom King run. Look forward to next issue. So let's go ahead and head to topic of the week.
The Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
But you want to talk about this pronunciation thing with Rachel? Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that.
Well, you need to give the background of what you sent us.
I sent the guys a video clip of Denny O'Neil from the DC app. They have the Batman series, or the Batman series, and Denny O'Neil expressing how you should pronounce Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul, how you should pronounce it, because his daughter went to college and the professor, English professor or something like that, told him it should be pronounced Ra's.
Mm-hmm.
And then Martin sent something very long.
Yes, I had to school Denny O'Neil in my reply to your video, because apparently that professor knows nothing. I mean, does that explain it shortly?
No.
I mean, so the thing, here's the thing, okay? We all grew up reading Batman when, like, he had never been on TV, right? Ra's al Ghul had never been on TV. And now he's been in the movies, which they call him Ra's al Ghul. He's been in Arrow in the CW, in which they call him Ra's al Ghul. So obviously that pronunciation has changed.
In the animated series?
That's right, in the animated series. What do they? They call him Ra's in that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Regardless, when we grew up reading it, nobody told us how to pronounce it, and we all just called it Ra's al Ghul, because that's kind of how it's spelled. And now the pronunciation has been changed to Ra's for some reason. I mean, this guy was an English professor. Ra's al Ghul is not an English word, so how would he know how to pronounce it, first of all? That's what I'm saying.
And does DC even know how to pronounce it?
I don't think DC knows how to pronounce it. I think they're just making it up. So I went on a linguistic journey to try to educate myself on the proper pronunciation of the word, and apparently we are all wrong. It is like Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
So there you have it, folks.
That's how you pronounce it. You want to say that again?
I can't do that sound. but it's not Ra's or Ra's. It's Ra's al Ghul.
All right. I'll start practicing that.
Yeah, I'm not practicing that. I'll just keep calling him Ra's.
Well, the thing I had read, and I've read this in several places, is that if you look at the character, the foreign character that's written in, they say there are two pronunciations depending on whether it's an Arabic or Hebrew pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
The Arab is Ra's, Ra's, and Ra's is the Hebrew pronunciation.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so I'm thinking, since he is pretty obviously not Jewish,
correct,
then Ra's would be Ra's would be how he would pronounce it.
Yes. And in the example that I found on the correct pronunciation of this, they used the name Abdullah, which is technically, what is it? Abda al-Ula. But with the way that you write out the Arabic and the way that the vowels flow into each other, it becomes Abdullah, which is why it's Ra's al Ghul.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Technically, Ra's al Ghul is a made-up word because it's not technically Arabic, nor is it technically Hebrew, nor is it technically anything. It's like loosely based on like Arabic dialects, so maybe the pronunciation is open. I think those people are wrong.
There you go. You heard it first here.
Send all hate mail to @rumbar316.
There you go.
For myself, I'm just avoiding the whole controversy, and for now, I'm just going to call him Steve al Ghul.
There you go. Steve.
Steve. Isn't that Baby Yoda's name?
Oh, God. I don't know. I hope not.
So let's go ahead and head back to the book.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol... As a symbol, I can be incorruptible. I can be everlasting.
What symbol?
Something elemental, something terrifying.
Sure, let's talk about Detective Comics number 1017. By the way, that is up to 9. That is a sacred number in Arabic. Written by Tom Taylor, with art by Fernando Blanco, colors by John Calise, letters by Travis Lanham. We have a fantastic variant cover by Josh Middleton, associate editor Brittany Holzer, and editor Jamie S. Rich. And in this issue of Detective, we have a new writer whom I love, Tom Taylor. Put him on Batman. And a terrific artist telling a story of some kids that are disappearing from an orphanage. Bruce enlists the help of Damian Wayne, who says, "Boy, am I glad you're not an emo punk kid anymore. Thanks for being a grown-up again." And Batman's like, "Yeah, we need to find these kids." So Damian finds the kid, and they learn there's something amiss at this orphanage that's named after Bruce's mother. It's the Martha Wayne Orphanage. Batman punches the dude in the face and renames the orphanage after the one of the missing kids. The end. I love this issue. I thought this was brilliant. Tom Taylor for president, 2020. You know what this reminded me of? This reminded me, we were talking about Bronze Age comics a couple weeks ago. This felt like one of those Bronze Age comics. In some ways, it reminded me a little bit of the story of like the Robins, in particular. Oh man, what's the one that I hate? Anyways, there was a lot of orphanage stories in the 80s, and it makes sense because Bruce is kind of an orphan. You know what I mean? Even though he had Alfred for a little while, he lost his parents. And I liked how Bruce. Here's the thing, right? With the Batman run, we had Bruce being very emotional, and I hated it. But there is a way to do an emotional Batman without changing the character. And I think that's kind of what Tom Taylor did here. Because Bruce does not want to go to this orphanage because he hates orphanages. He's hated them since he was a kid because, you know, they're creepy places. These kids, like, don't have anything. It's just like a crappy existence for them. And Bruce doesn't want to see it. And it was cool to see that, like, tenderness, that vulnerability in Bruce, starting as a kid, which is expected, but even as an adult. And in this story, him getting over that fact by finding this kid and solving the mystery, which is what Batman is supposed to be doing. Solving mysteries and crimes. Detecting stuff. And I loved it.
I think it was cool that you got to see Bruce Wayne as Bruce Wayne for a bit. And you don't see that all the time. He doesn't feel comfortable being Bruce Wayne. You can tell. And the other thing that I really liked about this is you had a mystery. Batman solved this mystery, but you don't know what really happened with the kids. You don't know, but you didn't need to know what happened with the kids that were being taken.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good one and done. And when you said about the Bronze Age, I couldn't think what it reminded me of, but when you said that, it kind of makes sense because this is one of the better one-and-dones that I've read recently.
Well, and if you remember, in a lot of, like, the Golden Age, for example, you were talking about Batman being Bruce.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot of that, right? Batman yeah. being Bruce and Robin being Dick, right? And them using their alter egos was kind of interweaved into the story. Jay?
I really enjoyed it as well. And I also, you know, kind of reiterate what you said. It's a way of showing an emotional Bruce in a different way. You know, it's going to be interesting seeing going through all the books now that Alfred is gone for a while of how that's going to portray, how it's going to affect him.
Yes. And with this issue, I realized why I love Damian so much. Let me clear my throat. Let me get into my thespian mode here. Let me do some acting on this fantastic conversation. Bruce. Damien. You called. I was kind of shocked to hear from you, so I came. What do you want? Bruce. I know I've been difficult to reach. Damien. That's one way to put it. Bruce. And how would you put it? Damien. I'd say you've retreated so far into an angry, brooding cloud that you are now more brood than man. God, I love that!
That was a good dialogue.
Yeah, good dialogue is, that'll be nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just, that is something I don't wish we could see more of, is the relationship between Bruce and Damian.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's his kid.
Yeah.
What's happening?
And, you know, he's off. I know he's off with the Teen Titans and with Jonathan Kent, you know, on other titles and stuff. But, yeah, I would like to see him come back and be regular Robin for Batman instead of Batman without a Robin right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to get a Batman with a Robin for a little while.
I'm sure we're not.
Yeah.
But I missed that between the two of them because there's a lot of places you could go with that.
Yep, I agree.
In the Batman and Robin book, you know, that Peter Tomasi wrote, I thought was very good at the beginning there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. How'd you guys feel about the art?
I liked it. I thought it was very satisfying.
Yeah, it's great.
I really liked the cover.
The A cover or the variant cover?
I have the A cover.
Okay, yep. Yeah, both covers are great. The regular cover is a Tony Daniel, which is good.
I like how his cape is all spread out in the snow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it looks like one of the covers he used to do back in the day. You know what I mean? When he was doing the whole book.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Whatever long ago. When was that? Like late 90s? 2000s maybe?
Like 2000s, I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably. Mid 2000s maybe.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. In a different decade.
So, anything else you guys want to add about this book?
Nope. So is Lucius going to be the new Alfred? Is that what's happening?
I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, and I don't recall, but recently it was you never knew that he knew who Batman was.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't stated in the book, but here in this book, at least, and one other, I can't remember off the top of my head, he acknowledges that. Yeah, Bruce is Batman. He knows it. And it hasn't always been that way where you didn't know if he knew it or not or what the continuity was.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
No, me either. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap this up, and we will head to Stomp the Co-Host.
Oh, boy.
It's time for the Batpod Stump the Co-Host segment.
Stump the Co-Host.
Wake me up when it's over.
Stump the Co-Host. Yes, your favorite segment. So today on Stump the Co-Host, there is a theme. And what is today's theme? It is Ra's al Ghul, of course.
Of course.
Of course. What else could it be? So, Jay, you're going to be up first. And there's going to be cash and prizes if you all get these right. And you want the cash and prizes. So, first question. Ra's al Ghul and Talia was inspired by stories in pop culture. I'm going to name four stories in pop culture in a book or film. And you're going to name the one where he was not inspired from. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. Don't get too excited. Don't get too excited now.
There's no danger of that.
Calm down a little bit. Okay. Inspired by stories. A, the 1969 James Bond film on Her Majesty's Secret Service. B, the 1963 film The Pink Panther. C, the 1964 film Doctor Strangelove. Or D, the 1913 novel Mystery of Fu Manchu. Which one of these is incorrect? Did not inspire.
Okay.
Ra's al Ghul, Talia.
Well, you mentioned Dr. Strangelove, which is one of my top five all favorite films.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking back, and I cannot imagine anything in there that would inspire Ra's al Ghul. So I'm going to go with Dr. Strangelove.
If you pick Dr. Strangelove, you are correct.
Good job.
All the others had characters that resembled Ra's and Talia. So very good. Wow. Jay's pretty sharp here.
Well, you just happened to pick one of my all-time favorite movies that I've seen about 20 times.
Okay. Martin, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. How do you pronounce Ra's al Ghul? Is it A, Raish? Is it B, Raish? Is it C, Raish? Or is it D, Raish? Which one of those is it?
I'd like to phone a friend. It's none of the above.
If you said none of the above, That wasn't a choice, and that's incorrect. I'm sorry. I did not win the cash.
I refuse to ever say that that's a pronunciation.
I thought Ronnie was coming on, so I had three questions.
Oh, ask it away.
Question is a cheese question. Last question is Ra's al Ghul's first comic book appearance. Was it Batman 323, Detective Comics 399, Plastic Man number 14, or Batman 232?
That's the last one.
Yes. 232.
That is correct. That was a cheese question. That don't count. That don't count. So Jay has won the cash and prizes, of course. And you're going to love this. Your cash and prizes this week, you have won an opportunity to become Ra's al Ghul's personal servant. Yeah, you'll be with Raz wherever he goes. You get to live in his palace. You get to bathe him and other fun stuff. Only problem is no personal servant has lasted more than a week. So you're beheaded for mistakes or your incompetence or pronouncing his name wrong. So don't know if you're too excited about that one.
I'm very excited, but I'm also a very magnanimous person. And in my magnanimity, I'm giving my prize to Martin.
Ha! Oh, stick it to the man. That's what you get for giving me that crap question. Thank you, Jay.
Okay. Those are Stump the Co-Hosts. Now we're on to our final book.
Tune in tomorrow. Same cat time, same cat channel.
Our final book tonight is Batman Curse of the White Knight, Book 5. Script, art, and covers by Sean Murphy. Matt Hollingsworth does the covers. And this opens with the funeral of James Gordon, which Bruce does not attend. Instead, he scuba dives into Gotham Reservoir, where he discovers a submerged village and a gravestone marked Dumas. Well, he then goes to the GTO, where Bullock immediately berates him for not attending the funeral, for missing it. Batman apologizes, and then he tells them about his discovery that Edmund Wayne, after killing Lafayette Arkham, he killed the priest Bakar and buried him under the Gotham Manor in that well, same way where Lafayette Arkham is buried. And then, working with the British, he engineered it so that they flooded the original settlement, so that they obliterated all the knowledge of Bakar and the evidence of what he had done. And he begins selling land parcels, and this is how the Wayne fortune and influence over Gotham started. So Batman then goes to Harley, asking her to try to reach out and see if she can bring Jack Napier to the surface in the Joker, and learn he's still trying to find out what the inscription was written on the side of that well in blood that the Joker erased. She's hesitant at first, but he encourages her to go ahead. She takes the twins and goes to see Joker and eventually succeeds in bringing Jack out. Meanwhile, the GTO has discovered that Azrael's identity is really Jean-Paul Valley, that he was a former military in a kind of an undercover type of military group. But then under Harley's guidance, Jack remembers the church where he first encountered Valley and gave him the sword. And as well, finally, he remembers the inscription, and he tells Harley what it is, but only under the condition that she not tell Bruce, because he said it would destroy Batman. Then Ruth goes to Valley to tell him that she's withdrawing her support of him because he's become too much of a loose cannon. He's not following her instructions. He killed Gordon, which was not part of their plan, and that she's no longer going to support him. He refuses to acquiesce, and she brings in Bane to try to overpower him. But one of, I think it's Gabrielle, one of his associates, manages to unhook Bane's venom hose, where Azrael then overcomes and beheads Bane, and then forces Ruth to reveal the names of her clients, the elites, as Napier calls them. Then we come see a Batman figure with a sword appears in Arkham Asylum and quickly kills off pretty much the whole rogues gallery. Scarecrow, Killer Croc, Baby Doll, Penguin, Poison Ivy, Two-Face, and the Riddler. Act pretty quickly. Joker makes a remark that he's cleaning out the competition, and he asks Valley how he got past the guards. And Valley says, well, I just walked past them because I'm Batman. He's put on a Batman armor.
Hell yeah.
So now Jean-Claude is assuming the role of Batman.
That was so awesome.
Your guys' take on this?
It was great.
It's the best book out right now.
Yep.
I think so. But man, he is racking up the death count. I mean, it's like, well, Gordon's dead. Now half the rogues are dead. And
well, there's that one story that, you know, the one guy lost his voice box or whatever. So the dude rips out everybody's throat to save him.
Oh, yeah. So no, this is just, I cannot say enough good things about this book. The pacing is well done.
I mean, could you read a series of these books, you know, like mini series after mini series? I mean, I would in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yes. Part of me wishes some of this was like in continuity.
Oh, yeah. Just think of some of the stuff he could come up with. I mean, he's very creative. This isn't like it's been rehashed or anything like that. It's.
No, I agree. I think I'd be happy with it. Continuing mini series on this.
Mm-hmm.
Just depends on what DC lets him do. I'm sure he is not hurting for ideas.
No, I think I read an interview with him where he had a few more stories he wanted to tell.
Right.
So it was getting over that first hump, because I don't think DC thought this book was going to do anything. The first one that came out. And it sold so well, they gave him the second book.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say this one's better than the first so far.
I don't think so. Certainly is equally as good.
Yep. Yep.
And the artwork, of course, is perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yes, it is. Best Batman artist, we found them.
I mean, one of the things, you'd have to have done some, tried drawing to understand some, is like the very first page when they're showing Gordon's funeral and they're looking at Gordon's casket from like a ground view level. That shows you what an absolute master he is at perspective. And perspective in drawing is damn difficult to master. Mm-hmm. Because I've tried.
Yeah, how far in advance, since he does the writing and the artwork, how far in advance do you think he pumps out these issues till they're actually published? Do you think he writes the whole series and then? I was just curious.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
Because it's so, like, you can't go into this book and say, that panel could have been a little better. It's a little rough. There's like no panel like that in this book. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, and he's not got the most realistic style. He has a little bit, but yeah, I mean, everything looks perfect, and he puts a lot of detail in his panels.
Mm-hmm.
Like that page I was talking about of Gordon's funeral. You see the rest of the city in the background, and he spends a lot of time drawing straight lines and intersections and stuff.
Well, dude, even the page where Bruce goes and dives off the boat. It's like half a page of bubbles.
Yes.
I almost wish that these were like oversized issues.
And of course, we have to mention, because he always works with Hollingsworth. That's the person who does his colors.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I can't imagine anybody else ever doing colors for him. I just can't. I mean, they're just, because they've been working together for as long as I've been reading Murphy's stuff. And that's no small thing. I mean, colors can make or break an artist's work.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to bring it up, because colors don't get the recognition they deserve.
No, a lot of times it's pinned on the artist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's true. But even if you look at the black and white pages, I mean,
oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, they need to do an artist edition of this book whenever the trade comes out.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you were wanting to get the original artwork for that last page, the I'm Batman?
Well, yeah, I joked. let me save $8,000 so I can buy this page. Because his art is not cheap.
No, because owning some Sean Murphy original art is a bucket list item of mine. But I've checked, and yeah, it is quite expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But any page would be a good pickup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He loves those bikes, man. That bike he uses reminds me of Tokyo Ghost. I don't know if you guys read that.
He's big. He owns several motorcycles and rides motorcycles. So, gotcha. He's going to put a motorcycle in every book he writes.
It is like a lot of vehicles. I mean, there was that one page a couple issues ago. Maybe it was the first issue that showed all Batman's different vehicles in the Batcave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he did that. Yeah, he likes cars and motorcycles a lot. Mm-hmm. So you're always going to see that. But yeah, they're all those Batmobiles are all from previous. You see the one from the TV show and then the Tumbler and Then one of them's obviously the Batmobile from the first movie with first Tim Burton movie.
Yep. So. Yep.
But again, I agree with you guys. Best Bat book out right now, and I don't want to see it in, but I'm also hoping for future work along the same line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know how Jay feels about this book, because when I was listing possible books to do, I said The Curse of the White Knight, and it took him like 2 seconds to say he wants that book.
Yep. I always leave it for him, because I know he loves it.
I'm waiting, can't wait to see Sean Murphy at C2E2. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, anything else? Anybody nope. Have any comments? Okay. Well, that's all I had, too.
Okay.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
We'll go ahead and wrap up here. If you'd like to contact us, we are on Twitter. It's @bat_pod. We do have an email. It's batpodpodcast@gmail.com. We are on the iTunes. If you'd like to give us an iTunes review, we'd really appreciate it. So, what did we learn this issue, guys? We learned how to pronounce Ra's al Ghul properly.
I don't know who that is.
properly pronunciation. We had an N to Tom King's Batman. We look forward to more Batman. So yeah, Tom Taylor on Batman. That was pretty awesome.
Tom Taylor is pretty awesome.
Anything else you want to add?
Nope.
Okay, until next time. Same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later.